I'm Melanie Phillips, and this is Teach Me to Walk in the Light, Episode 6, Doubt Not. This podcast is for people who want to learn how to effectively teach, persuade, and lead those within their reach to walk in the light of Christ. I am your host, Melanie Phillips. Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast, helping you teach more effectively at home and in your calling. In each episode, I teach a new gospel principle and share with you how you can apply it to your life and how to teach it to your family in family home evening. The gospel principles I cover coincide with the principle taught in the Come Follow Me reading assignment for the upcoming week. I also share a new teaching tip and end with a hashtag take time for family activity suggestion or a dinner conversation starter. Thanks to everyone who listens. And please, if you like the podcast, I'd sure appreciate it if you'd give me a review down below, even if it's just simply hitting those 5 stars. For all those who have left a review and all those who do leave a review now until February 14th, Valentine's Day, you will be automatically entered into my Valentine's drawing of a $75 Amazon gift card. I'll pick a winner on the 14th and then I'll be announcing the winner on episode 9. So leave a review and you'll be entered. Today's topic is called Doubt Not. It's one of the principles discussed in the New Testament Come Follow Me for the week of February 4th through the 10th. In Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, we read of how right after Jesus had fasted for 40 days, Satan comes to tempt him. That sounds like something Satan would do, as I'm sure he thought that after Jesus had been fasting for 40 days, that surely he would then be at his weakest, and this would be the perfect time to try and tempt him. And the first thing Satan tries to tempt Jesus into doing is to turn stone into bread. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." What I want you to notice here is how Satan says, if thou be the Son of God. Satan is challenging Christ's divine identity. Now I want you to think and ask yourself, how often does Satan try to challenge my divine identity? How often on a daily basis do I question my identity and let thoughts of self-doubt flood my mind? Now, if Satan tried to make Christ doubt himself, don't you think he's going to try and tempt each of us with self-doubt as well? Heck yes. Every day, several times a day. I want to share with you a story about Sherry Dew. And this is taken from a Deseret News article back in 2002 entitled Sherry Dew Living the Unexpected Life. And this is what it says. To this day, one of her biggest regrets that has left a gaping hole in her life was left by her one true love, basketball. She wanted to be a college basketball player. Perhaps there was no place besides a chapel that she felt more comfortable or confident than on a basketball court. There, the girl who longed to be petite and pretty discovered her size was no longer a curse, but a blessing. She was a star player in basketball crazy Kansas at a tiny high school, averaging 23 points and 17 rebounds a game. She had a hook shot, a post-up move, a jump shot, and she could move under the basket to get free for shots. "With all the modesty I can muster, I was good," she says. I haven't seen many girls who could play basketball at that age who were as good as I was. But this was in the late 60s and 70s when there were few opportunities for girls to play college basketball. And she chose to attend BYU and planned to try out for the school's basketball team. On the day of tryouts, she reported to the Richards Building, opened the gym door a crack, peeked at the players inside, and the confidence drained right out the bottom of her shoes. She couldn't make herself step through the door. She thought she could work up her courage if she paced the hallway outside the gym for a while. So she walked back and forth for 3 hours. She never did enter the gym. And when the tryout ended, she walked slowly to her dorm, castigating herself for not having the guts to try out. "It's one of my biggest regrets," she says. "I've never gotten over it." Now jump ahead to last autumn. BYU athletic director Elaine Michaelis, who coached the basketball team when Dew was a student, invited Dew to speak to the school's female athletes. Dew told the above story for the first time in her life, one she hadn't even confided to her family. Her point was that these athletes were doing something she had wanted to do, but lacked the courage to try. Afterwards, Michaelis told Dew, "I remember my 1971 team really well. You know why? We played all season one player short. I tried to fill my roster and I couldn't. That year, I was looking for a tall center who could post up." Sitting in her office, Dew finishes this story and says, "I felt as if I had been kicked in the stomach when she told me that. That was supposed to be my spot on the team. You mean out of 25,000 students, they couldn't find one girl who could fill that spot?" The truth is, nobody can take your place. That was an interesting lesson. I thought I was good, but I'll never know. My fear and shyness paralyzed me. My whole life, I felt like I didn't quite measure up. So as you can see, even one of the most accomplished and respected women of the church, even she has struggled with self-doubt. It happens to all of us. Doubting ourselves is one of Satan's biggest lies and greatest tools that he uses against us. I really love what Kevin J. Worthen said in a BYU devotional called Fear Not. In it, he said, quote, "I am convinced that just as we have articles of faith, Satan and his minions must have articles of fear to aid them in their work. They might read something like this. We believe that the first principles of despair and damnation are doubt God, doubt yourself, doubt others, and most of all, be afraid. Be very afraid of the future," unquote. Now, did you know that there is a law called the law of occupied space? And this law states that two objects cannot occupy the same space at the same time. This law also applies when it comes to the mind. You cannot have positive and negative thoughts in your mind at the same time. You cannot have faith and fear, nor can you have self-belief and self-doubt in your mind at the same time. You may remember a quote by President Monson when he said, quote, "Remember that faith and doubt cannot exist in the same mind at the same time, for one will dispel the other," unquote. So how do we overcome and fight back Satan's lies that he puts in our heads? Well, I have 7 suggestions I'd like to share with you. 1, replace your negative thoughts with positive ones. Craig Manning, tennis player and performance psychology consultant for BYU Athletics, once said, quote, "When I was a student at BYU, I realized that I needed to think more positively. I started working on this, and every time I caught myself thinking or talking to myself in negative, reactive ways, saying, 'Your backhand stinks,' or 'Don't miss that backhand,' I would stop that thought and immediately replace it with thoughts such as, 'I love my backhand and I'm going to rip it down the line.' And instead of saying to myself, 'School is tough, BYU is too hard for me,' I started telling myself, I've got this. I can get good grades. And at some point, I realized I would always say to myself, don't forget this, or you better not forget this for the exam. So one of my favorite phrases became, I will remember this. It took some time, but everything started to change. I was playing amazing tennis, at least for me, and I was studying half the time and getting better grades, a lot better. More important, there was no more fear. This change in thinking was a constant work in progress, and I constantly battled to apply the Lord's lessons, unquote. So decide ahead of time, determine right now what positive thoughts you are going to replace your negative thoughts with. Jot them down if you need to. Put them on your phone and read them if you need to when you find those negative thoughts creeping in. Number two, do as the song says and count your many blessings. Name them one by one. When things go wrong in our lives, it is so easy to lose all sense of perspective. I mean, we are impatient for instant solutions when often the answer is give it time. Give it time to allow things to work out. Elder David S. Baxter of the 70 once said, quote, a characteristic of a depressed spirit is an over-concentration on cares and concerns, an unwise wallowing in feelings of foreboding. What a difference it would make if instead we took account of our strengths, raised our eyes off the ground, and gave ourselves credit for how far we have already come and how much we have already achieved, unquote. A great way to do this is to have a gratitude journal, writing everything you are thankful for, including all of the many tender mercies the Lord has shown you that day. Number three, serve others. I still remember the time when I was a teenager and going through a hard time and talking with my mom, and she shared with me her experience of how service had always helped her forget herself and feel happy inside. I was then soon able to find someone who was also struggling, and my mom helped me put a care package together for this person. And it was something that took time and preparation, but as I worked on it and did it, it got me out of my funk of feeling like my life was miserable. And President Kimball taught this when he said, quote, the more we serve our fellow men in appropriate ways, the more substance there is to our souls. We become more significant individuals. Indeed, it is easier to find ourselves because there is so much more of us to find, unquote. Number four, fresh air and exercise. Yes, fresh air and exercise can help combat feelings of self-doubt. Breathing fresh air stimulates your body to produce serotonin, a chemical that lightens your mood and increases those feelings of calm and well-being. And exercise can do the same thing. Hormones such as endorphin, serotonin, and dopamine are released when we increase physical activity, making us feel happier, calmer, and more stable. Number five, ignore the devil's lies. Do as Jesus did and say, get thee hence, Satan. Put these thoughts in perspective. Realize that they are just lies that Satan is trying to get you to believe. Six, reach out to a family member or close friend and let them know you are feeling really down on yourself and ask them to help you see the good in yourself. And later write down those things that they said so that you can go back and read them. And last but not least, number seven, replenish your spiritual reserves. Do you ever find yourself just feeling empty and you can't quite shake it? You can avoid this by regularly replenishing your spiritual reserves. You can do this by finding a time each day just to be still. Take a few moments each day to pray, reflect, and meditate, giving the Spirit a chance to speak to you. He can't if you're always on the go. You've got to find a time to stop and be still. Also, make it a point to fill your mind with spiritual things like reading church material, scriptures, attend your Sunday meetings, or listen to hymns. The more we fill our reserves, the more we exercise faith and come closer to our Savior, we will feel an ever-increasing sense of value and self-worth. I hope you found these suggestions helpful. Just remember that when we let feelings of inadequacy and self-doubt weigh us down, We hold ourselves back from fulfilling our divine potential. Doubt in ourselves and who we are is one of Satan's biggest lies, and we are so much greater than we give ourselves credit for. Just remember that. On to Family Home Evening suggestion. Did you know you can now receive Family Home Evening outlines by email? I've created a Teach Me Family Home Evening email group. Simply go to the show notes at www.melanieslibrary.com/teachme6 and sign up. It makes Family Home Evening preparation super easy. It's all lined out for you with all the great links and everything you need. Now, a word from our sponsor. Teach Me to Walk in the Light is brought to you today by Amazon. As you know, Amazon has everything you need from office supplies to kitchen decor. But did you also know they have inspiring and uplifting products, such as books by your favorite church authors? They've got Krista statues, Christian music, and more, all at low prices with Prime 2-day shipping. Melanie's Library has an entire page dedicated to these kinds of products. Support the sale of inspiring and uplifting products by visiting www.melaniesLibrary.com/Amazon. Now, back to the podcast. All right, for Family Home Evening suggestion, you can do the song Count Your Many Blessings or In the Leafy Treetops. And for the scripture, I would suggest reading or telling of Moses' encounter with Satan. That's found in Moses chapter 1, 10 through 23. And then compare that to the encounter Christ had with Satan in Matthew 4 or Luke 4, when Satan tempts Christ 3 times. And when telling or reading the story of Moses, be sure and point out or have your family count how many times Moses tells Satan to go away. And talk about what Satan's reaction was when he was unsuccessful in tempting Moses. I love verse 22 because in verse 22, Satan pretty much throws a very big temper tantrum. Then when comparing Moses and Christ's experiences with Satan, be sure and point out that one, they were both very weak physically. Moses had just been transfigured in order to talk with God, and his body was very weak when he became a natural man again. Christ was weak from fasting for 40 days. Second, you can point out that Christ tells Satan in Matthew 4:9 the same thing that Moses told Satan several times. Get thee hence, Satan. He tells him to go away. And you can mention that just like Moses and Jesus, Satan is always trying to tempt us, and he will especially do it when we are at our weakest point. Like Moses and Jesus, we need to tell Satan to get thee hence. And then for the lesson, you're going to refer back to the story of Satan tempting Jesus and point out that when Satan tempted Christ for the first time to turn a stone to bread, he was also challenging Christ's divine identity by saying, if thou be the Son of God. And ask them if there's been a time that Satan has tried to get them to doubt who they really are. Maybe ask, what are some self-doubt thoughts that you have had? And maybe even make a list together. And the list could include things like, I'm not good enough. People will just laugh at me. I'm so dumb. I shouldn't have said that. Or that was stupid. I shouldn't have done that. Or my body is fat. I look horrible, or why can't I be pretty like her? And then talk about what the problem is with self-doubt. What happens when we doubt ourselves? We're unhappy, we don't fulfill our full potential, and we miss out on opportunities of influencing others for good. And this is where you can show a picture of Sherry Dew and tell the story about her. And then next, have a puzzle put together, all but 7 pieces. And if you don't have a puzzle, you could create your own. You could print out a family picture and cut it up if you wanted to. Cut it up like a puzzle. But have it all together but 7 pieces. And as you discuss the 7 things that can help you combat negative thoughts, put in 1 of the 7 puzzle pieces. Now, I have the 7 things in a printable that you can download, and you can get it in the show notes. It's the 7 things that I discussed earlier, and they're put on word strips with pictures. cut out the word strips, and you can either hold each word strip up as you talk about each one, or you can turn them all over and have someone come up and pick one at a time. And whoever picks one, you can also have them put in a puzzle piece. And then at the very end, you've talked about all seven of them. All the seven missing puzzle pieces are now in the puzzle. And at the very end, referring to the puzzle, you can say that as we follow these seven steps, we can feel more complete and fulfill our divine potential. And then you have seven word strips that you can put on the fridge or somewhere in the house to help remind everybody what they can do in the upcoming week to help combat those negative thoughts. Now for the activity, I have two suggestions. One, you'll need something soft like a ball or a stuffed animal. And if possible, get like three of them. And everyone stand in a circle and someone with the soft object will throw it to someone else in the circle. And whoever they throw it to, they have to tell that person one thing they like about that person or compliment them about something. And then that person will throw it to someone else and so forth. After you go around and do that a few times, you could then add in another soft object or two and do two or three at a time just to add in a little more fun to it. And add in the rule that no one can say the same compliment. No compliment can be repeated. Or if you don't want to do that, you can give everyone a piece of paper and have them color their name really cool at the top. You can get markers, glitter, stickers, whatever you want, and make their paper look really cool with their name on it. Then have everyone switch papers, and everyone has to write something nice about everyone else on their paper. And then everyone ends up with a cool paper that they can hang up somewhere and read whenever they are feeling down on themselves. And a closing song you can do is Jesus Wants Me for a Sunbeam or Let Us All Press On. All right, on to the teaching tip. My teaching tip today comes from John, by the way. As most of you know, he teaches religion for BYU, is an author, and a fantastic public speaker. He's one of my favorites. I heard an interview with him where he was asked, "How do you put together a lesson plan?" I jotted down a few key things that really stood out to me, and I wanted to share them with you today. Number one, he begins with the end in mind. He comes up with a main thing he wants his students to remember from his lesson when it's all done. Then he keeps that in mind as he prepares. Two, stories. John loves to add a variety of stories. And then he finds scriptures to back up the story and what he's trying to teach. He also looks for quotes from living church leaders or more recent general conference talks to add in. And three, he says he always has more than enough material and that being overprepared is okay. And he gave the advice to not try and use it all, use what fits with the discussion. He was sure to say that, yes, lead a discussion, but remember you are still the teacher. So it's important for you to provide the doctrine. You're not just a discussion leader, you are the teacher. So thanks to John, by the way, for those three inside tips as to what he does when preparing a lesson. All right, and last but not least, hashtag take time for family. Spending time with family should be on everyone's priority list. I hope you've been posting pictures on social media with the hashtag take time for family. I love seeing pictures of families spending time together. You are setting such a great example to the world. You can see mine if you follow me on Instagram or on Facebook. You can look me up under Melanie's Library. And if you have a fun family idea, please email it to me at melanieslibrary@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your ideas. Today's idea is a game. One of the things that is sure to get on our family's bucket list is a game every time. And this game we recently played at a family party and we had a lot of fun. I'm not quite sure what it's called. It's kind of like catchphrase with a little bit of charades thrown in. And this is how you play. And don't worry if it doesn't make sense to you right away. I will have the instructions in the show notes. So basically, one, you give everyone three strips of paper and a pen or pencil. And have everyone write down a name on each of their three strips of paper. The name could be of a real person, like your next door neighbor. It could be a cartoon character like SpongeBob. It could be a celebrity like Will Smith, or it could even be the name of your cat. Make sure it is a name that everyone would know who you were referring to if you said it. Put all the papers in a bowl and divide up into two teams. And there are three rounds. The first round is similar to catchphrase, if you've ever played that. One team goes first. We'll call them Team A. Someone from Team A has 60 seconds to try and get their other team members to guess as many names as they can. So basically, that person draws a name from the bowl one at a time, and they can say whatever they want to say to help their team members guess whose name they have. The only things they can't say is, one, you can't say any form of the name, or two, a word that rhymes with the name. And when their teammates guess a name right, they set that paper aside and draw another name, and they keep going until their 60 seconds is up. You can have up to two skips if you want. If you skip a name you draw out, just put it back in the bowl. And when that person's 60 seconds are up, you count how many names were guessed correctly by their team, and they get that many points. And then it's Team B's turn. And you continue back and forth taking turns between teams until all the names in the bowl have been guessed correctly. And each time a team has a new turn, they do have to give another person on their team a chance to give the clues. No one should go twice until everyone on their team has had a turn. And there is a good chance you will have multiples of the same name in the bowl, and that is okay. And then for round two, you put all the names back in the bowl. You play the same way as round one, except this time you are only allowed to say one word. You only give one clue. Makes it a little bit harder, but everyone has heard all the names that are in the bowl from round one. So they have to use their memories to remember who is in there and remember what's been said. And then in round three, it is played pretty much the same as round one and two, except this time you have to act out the name, just like playing charades. It's a lot of fun. Be sure and try it out. Invite another family over to play with you. I promise you'll have a fun time. And I'll have the instructions written out in the show notes. You can find the show notes for today's episode along with any links or downloads at Melanie's Library. That's www.melanieslibrary.com/teachme6. That's the number 6. That is also where you can become a part of the Teach Me to Walk in the Light Family Home Evening email group. Each week I email the group a simple, easy to use outline of the Family Home Evening suggestion that I share on the podcast, making family home evening preparation as simple as possible for you. And that is it for today. Thanks again for listening. If you've enjoyed this podcast and found it helpful, I hope you'll share it with your friends. Also, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode and click that 5 stars button down below. Remember, anyone who leaves a review or gives me 5 stars now until February 14th is automatically entered to win a $75 Amazon gift card. Have yourself a great rest of the week. Talk to you soon. Want more teaching helps and gospel-related resources? Be sure and go to Melanie's Library at www.melanieslibrary.com. This is also where you can find the show notes for all the Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast episodes. And while you're there, make sure you sign up for my monthly Finding Joy newsletter that is always packed full of great resources and delivered right to your inbox. Everything you need to be the most effective teacher you can be at home and in your calling. Once again, thanks for listening.